state memorial was held at Sydney Town Hall on the 10th of March 2021 for Jack Mundy, AO. My name is Vivian Langford and I was there for Radio 3CR and Radio Skid Row. The green bans imposed on heritage buildings and bushland in Sydney were a glorious moment and the idea was copied around the world. We start with the voice of Jack Mundy himself in 2003. It's an archival record from the city of Sydney and we thank Siobhan McHugh who made this recording.
Of course, the Vietnam War, the fight against the A&H bombs. The left-wing unions have a rich tradition in this country of fighting for things. But the builders' labourers went a bit further in the sense that when the women... I'd made a statement that in a modern society, unions should have the right to be concerned about the end result of their labour, that things wider than wages and conditions were important, that, of course, while ever unions exist, wages and conditions are of paramount importance. But increasingly, what is the good of winning higher wages and better conditions if we live in cities devoid of parks, denuded of trees? And the quality of life was not just a cliche, it's a reality. And strangely enough, at that time, A.V. Jennings, a Melbourne-based development company, had moved in and bought land in the fashionable suburb of Hunters Hill with the idea of building luxurious units, apartments for the very rich. And the people in that area rose up against it and had a couple of meetings. And the driving force was a group called the Battlers for Kelly's Bush. And they were all women, middle upper class women. And as a very last resort, they came to the builders' labourers on the basis of things that I'd said about the importance of the environment. And we went out there and spoke to the people. And we said to them, well, if you can show that it's not just a handful of people, but it is a feeling of the people in Hunters Hill, we will take it back to the union. So they had a meeting, over 600 people came to it, and the women came back to the union leadership and spoke. And it was interesting, when they'd left, some of the builders' labourers on the exec said, Jesus Christ, what are we doing? We haven't even got a members in Hunters Hill, let alone, you know. Others of us argued that whether it's Liverpool, Penrith or Willara, if we're fair dinkum, about open space being necessary, and they had a valid argument we should support them. A.V. Jennings announced that they would ignore the ban and use non-union labour. And at the time, we had, as I told you before, we had won the confidence of the workers. Over 90% of all workers carrying out builders' labourers' work were in a union. And the work we covered, from unskilled work, doing the footings, digging, of doing the concreting, doing the steel work, going up high on the building with riggers and scaffolders. But all of that work was covered by builders' labourers. So when it came to bans, we had a lot of bargaining power, whether commencement of buildings or whether stopping the demolition of buildings. So we had enormous power. And at the time, there were something like 11 unions in the building industry, from all the different trades had their own unions. And the builders' labourers, of course, it was an amorphous group that stretches from the skilled to the unskilled. And so we had a lot of power and the union was very strong. And so we responded by calling a meeting on one of A.V. Jennings' jobs in North Sydney. And the workers decided that if one blade of grass or one tree was touched on Kelly's Bush, that half-completed building would remain forever as a monument to Kelly's Bush. And that really set the cat amongst the pigeons. After, of course, we put the ban on, it was called a black ban because a black ban has connotations of workers jacking up jobs to lift their wages and conditions. But later on, and I think this was a turning point, when we called them green bans, it had a more noble argument. We were there, we weren't just trying to increase the wage and condition of the workers, we were looking on a wider angle at the quality of life issues.
And who thought of the word green ban?
Me, Jack.
Good on you.
Give me something, you know. So, but I think it was more reflective of what we were doing.
As I went along the line outside the town hall of very dignified people waiting to go in to celebrate the life of Jack Mundy, I learned that his legacy was not just in the buildings of the Rocks area, in Kelly's Bush, and in the old churches and parts of Sydney's heritage that were preserved by the Builders Labourers Federation. People remembered his personal legacy of generosity, solidarity, and inclusiveness as he expanded the horizons of the unions beyond their work conditions and wages to creating the sort of society that we all would like to live in.
We need a Jack Mundy as he was then, as he remained. He never changed, was still fighting. I was on Parramatta Council until 2008. Jack would be on the phone to me regularly talking about saving buildings, and he'd be well and truly in the fight for Willow Grove.
This brings back memories. In 1969, I was about 17 years old. Jack had lived in Guildford, like most great people, and there was down the local pub, there was a rank and file fundraiser, and there were so many of people who worked in the industry who were there that night, and I was a young kid and I was great, but his contribution, both the environment and the broader political thing, the union movement, the whole democratisation of unions, it's so crucial. Yeah.
Do you think it's got harder to do that sort of thing, like green bands now? Do you think it's harder? Why?
Well, the workforce is now splintered. There's not large factories, there's not union strength, there's not solidarity, there's not people reinforcing each other. It's very difficult, and people are on higher purchase, mortgages, etc. There are great impediments to struggle, and it would have been far more difficult now for him. Yeah.
I think Jack was a legend in New South Wales, and I think it's interesting that his notoriety and the work that he did around green bands and leading some of that protection now of our history has resonated with young people, and they love him like us oldies.
So. We can still go to the buildings, can't we, and the places?
Well, we can, and that's what's so enjoyable, to go past. And he definitely deserves recognition today and more than that. And I'm pleased to see that there's going to be a film that will, I hope, do justice to what he's done. That he's done a lot for this city, a lot.
Hi, I only met him once, and he was so welcoming and really keen for the next generation to continue with what he'd done.
About Jack Mundy's legacy, if he was here today, a young man again, would it be harder now to do green bands, and why?
Well, I was lucky enough to hear him speaking at a forum about 20 years ago when he addressed this very issue, and back then he said it would be much harder, so it could only be even worse now with the awful industrial laws that we have in this country, which don't permit secondary boycotts and community action of that kind.
What is your memory of him, or your legacy that he's...
I was very lucky to work for the CFMEU about 10 to 20 years ago, getting to meet him and going to see the Kelly's Bush women. I went to the lunch 30 years ago with Jack, so that's my memory.
Jack was a great man, and I worked for Jack as an organiser when he was a secretary of the union. And he did everything democratically, and gave everybody an opportunity, not like we have today.
Jack Mundy was an ecological socialist till his dying day. He was always supporting people to take action, encouraging people. So he strongly advocated unity in the society for that. And I think he wasn't despairing when I think about how he approached things. He had enormous confidence in people, and I think that's come from his brilliant experience in the Builders Labourers, you know, from the 1950s through till now. So I think Sydney's really blessed by having that heritage, and let's celebrate it today.
I see Jack Mundy in the buildings every time I go into certain buildings. I know it was because of the bands that he was part of that they're there. But what about culturally, you know, in our minds? Because it's so hard now to protest, to do anything. And the developers seem to have taken over just as well as these little old buildings that are here. What culturally do you think is left?
Well, I think we have got a lot of our cityscape and some of our landscape because of the builders, labourers and Jack Mundy. And I think we should always encourage people to recognise that when they open their eyes and move around New South Wales and the city. But in the culture, obviously we've got a completely rapacious government that's actually slogan is, New South Wales, a new state of business. It's not a state of people. So, I think that's what Jack was referring to, that it's, much harder now. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. The people can really change everything, and Jack knew that.
So Amanda Tattersall, Jack Mundy's legacy is both ginormous and incredibly intimate, and I think that that's what was so powerful about him. He actually carried his values and his politics to every scale of his life. So obviously, like, we look down the streets of Sydney and it wouldn't look quite like this but for Jack Mundy. You know, he literally physically transformed the city through his radical conception of unionism and its connection to the natural environment. You know, it's just extraordinary, and it lives in me today with how I work in the climate movement. You know, I'm working on trying to make that connection between economics and climate too. But it's also really personal. Jack was a really kind and generous person. Whenever I asked him to speak at anything, he would come. He spoke to students I was teaching. He spoke to the Sydney Alliance as we were setting up. He wrote a squib on my book. He just always said yes, because he actually just really loved people and cared for people, which is fundamental to his values. In terms of how it would be different today, so I think Jack Mundy would be leading the climate transition. He would be front and centre in regional communities trying to work out how working class people can help lead a response to climate change that allows them to have a sense of control over their economic, social and cultural life and not be taken advantage of by the big developers of today, which is the fossil fuel companies. And so I think it would be different. I think the places in which he would be fighting would be different. But the idea of a unified struggle between, as he said, the working class and the enlightened middle class would remain the same.
I think the world is extremely poorer because of Jack's death and the values that he stood up for. They seemed really vague and fragmented at the moment.
What would you say lives on in the culture? I know the buildings are here, but in the culture, like in all of our memories, there's a certain type of being, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm talking about, the cultures. The buildings, I don't really... they're not relevant for me, but I think in people's hearts, I think having prophets of our time is really important, and I think Jack was a prophet of our time, and he challenged the inequities in our society and stood up for the working person. I think that does live on, yeah.
Look, Jack was a remarkable person and a remarkable figure for Sydney and Australia and the world, and I think he brought a new way of thinking about the future, of a kind of ecological socialism that gave great hope and inspired millions of people in one way or another. It was a real privilege that he was in our community and in our city and touched the world the way he did.
Look, I was lucky to know Jack later in his life, and I think it was incredible how generous he was, even with all the things that happen when you're older and when his health was failing him. He was always there and solid, inspiring new generation of 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 30-year-olds, telling them about how they could be involved in a politics that was about people and generosity and not just power and elites.
Everybody has been saying to me, look, he never gave up, and he was kind and he was generous. He would come to anything if you invited him to speak or so on. But he himself said, on the archival recordings I've heard, it's just so much harder now. You know, what we're up against is harder. And especially with the climate change issue, I'm sure people have said he'd be front and centre of that if he was with us today. What do you think's changed that's making it hard? Do you agree that it's harder, or it's always just the same battle?
I think the scale of our wealth and also the scale of the catastrophe make those two things very hard, shaking people into action when actually we are much more comfortable and wealthy than we were when Jack was a younger activist. But then faced with the scale of catastrophe that is so urgent, yes, that is harder. But, days like today remind you that we've got to be part of that challenge, or nothing's going to change.
Thank you. What's your memory?
My family, the company James, I'm Amelina. My family's company, with my mother and her brothers, my uncles, were the developers that wanted to destroy the rocks. And I'm very grateful to Jack Mundy that the rocks were saved. And my generation, my siblings and my cousins, all support Jack Mundy and the work, and we're grateful, very grateful, for his heritage work. Yeah.
Thank you for that comment, because it just shows that we all can change, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Thanks, Emmeline.
Oh, look, I'm just devastated. I'm from down Union Shell Haven and Jack, my father held him in such esteem. My father's 86. He's up in Coffs Harbour. He couldn't make it today because of ill health. We're a massive Union family, and Jack was like a hero in the Forge generations.
How did he inspire you? Like, what did he stick by?
Well, I was 16 when I joined the Commonwealth Bank, and I was in head office. And the first day, I said, I want to sign up for the union. And I was on the fifth floor, and they said, what? And I said, yes, that's what I want to do. And I worked with all, you know, the bosses of, you know, lending and that, and that day. And they said, why? I said, because I want my rights. And so that sort of didn't go down too well, but that's what I did. And it's inspired me from then to sort of want a fair go for sort of everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm involved with Union Shell Haven, and only the other night we were talking at our Union Shell Haven meeting about we have 26-27% youth unemployment, and the young kids there, because I'm involved with Insenia High School, and they're so desperate for part-time work. You know, they're working for $12-$15 an hour. You know, so it's people like Jack trying to, you know, early on get workers' rights. It's kids like that who we're trying to, you know, get involved and join a union, but they're so desperate for their part-time work to be able to afford to go to uni that we have to turn them around and get them to join a union. And Jack sort of, you know, fought for those things. And so we were educated at a young age by my father, Bill Hark, who's up there today, hoping to watch this on live stream.
Jack was an inspiration to all of us because of his socialist politics and his environmentalism, and a lot of things in Sydney, Centennial Park, all the old buildings. Kelly's Bush would not be here if it hadn't been for Jack and the people he worked with together. Well, I mean, the green bans were historic, and they inspired green bans all over in the rest of Australia and all over the world. And I think it was historic that he brought together the union movement and the environment movement to struggle together for a better future.
My name's Rachel Evans, and I met Jack Mundy when I first arrived here in Sydney around 2003. I heard about his legacy, and I went to visit him in his home and got him to sign a Green Left. So I'm a journalist with Green Left, and the thing that really inspired me, because was very involved in the marriage equality campaign, was the pink bans. But finding out about the green bans, the black bans, the pink bans, and you know, this was seminal and trailblazing, and he's an amazing man. The other thing that we did with Jack was we helped the campaign to save Sydney College of the Arts in Callan Park, and so we occupied there for 65 days, and he came to visit. And so it was a fantastic, you know, lots of art students and also the Maritime Union of Australia, they were very involved. But yeah, capitalism is voracious, and it's privatising everything, and all the green spaces in even the suburbs are being transformed by these horror large apartment blocks. And so the green ban example is really important for the modern day. And we're involved now in a fight to save Glebe and Everly public housing. And that fight, we hope, is going to involve a green ban. So, yeah, and now there's a green ban against Willow Grove's demolition. So it's actually what he's done. And he was a communist, and that's the other thing that's really important about his legacy to remember and ingest, that he was an anti-capitalist, and he was organising with working people and the poor to make the change, the grassroots organising that makes the change that we need. So, and it's a new world. Actually, Bondi Pavilion was another fight. He spoke there. So for the young generation and the middle-aged generation, which I'm part of, we need to learn the lessons of Jack Mundy's legacy, and then to really, really, really pay tribute, we've got to fight to win and win.